Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com here. Pete, how you doing?
Good, Bill. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I guess my question right out of the chute is, how desperate should the Green Bay Packers to be to get this win?
Oh, you know, I think they were a little more desperate last week, but, you know, the question is, does it take 9 or 10 wins to get in the playoffs? And if it takes 10, this is one they probably need to win. So, I mean, you know, there's only 16 of them, so there's got to be some level of desperation for all of them. But I mean, put it this way, if they lose, I don't think they're out of it. If they lose today, I don't think they're out of it.
If they lose, then it pretty much becomes a necessity for them to then run the table, correct?
Probably maybe 5-1 after this, or what do they have, 7? Yeah, so 5-1 after this would do it, maybe. That would get them to 9-6-1. I mean, you beat out the 9-7 teams. So I would, I don't know, I give 9-6-1, I'd probably give maybe a 50% chance of making the playoffs.
Let me ask you this. For them to win tonight, because I had said, look, it's a lot of little things that have cost this team. Fumble here and there, some key penalties here and there. Some of the things that have cost them have not just been where teams are just beating them, but it's kind of their own self-inflicted wounds. So how far away are they from being a good team?
I'm still not sure. I think a lot of it just comes down to the quarterback playing better. You know, I'm sure that knee injury is affecting his accuracy. You know, those MCL sprains, the bones hit together when the sprain happens. So the MCL or whatever ligament he injured is probably healed by now because he's not using a brace anymore. But the bone bruise, especially because he's practicing and playing on it, those heal really slowly and they're painful. And because something's off. I mean, he's just missing. He's missing more throws in one game than he would miss in a month or more. When he's on top of his game.
I look at Aaron Rodgers, and that was the other question I was going to ask you. We went through that last night. Is it something as simple as simply saying, well, Randall Cobb's gone, Devontae Adams is being doubled, so is Jimmy Graham, no Geronimo Allison, and you're playing with the rest rookies, that he's just off? Is it that simple, or going to what you had said, maybe there's a lingering effect from that collarbone break that we saw last year, and maybe it's just not anything anybody's talking about?
You know, I talked to a doctor with another team before they had the surgery, and he said one of the reasons you do the surgery is to make sure the bone doesn't lengthen or shorten, so it's the same length, so mm-hmm. that it doesn't affect his throwing motion. And I was talking with a sports doctor just a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about longevity of players, and I asked him if he thought that if the collarbone could be a longevity problem because it's on the throwing side, and he didn't think so. So I'm not saying that it couldn't be that. You know, I mean, we don't know, but my guess is I lean more strongly towards it being the knee. And look, he played, remember the second half 15, the first half of 16?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he basically was playing then like he's playing now.
So does he have those quality numbers in him right now with this personnel group, or do you think it's going to still take a little while to get on the same page with a lot of the young guys?
Yeah, I don't, you know, those guys look pretty good to me. Valdez Scantling looks really good. He's not doing is he's not making as many plays outside the pocket. He's scrambling now, but he's just running and sliding or throwing the ball away. So I think that'll be the thing to get him to that next level, is to start making plays outside the pocket where he's making those backbreaking throws where they think they've got him. He escapes and then he hits somebody for a 15 or 20 yard gain.
Obviously, no Kevin King, Kentrell Bryce. You're banged up in that secondary. They can't really afford another injury back there, can they?
No, but, you know, signing Breland, that sure helped.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Alexander's their best guy back there. I mean, he's really good. So I think they're okay, but you're right. You know, they're an injury away from having some problems now.
The other side of the coin, when you talk about the defense, is more the defensive front. They lead this league in sacks. I mean, they're tied for the league lead. They've got, what, 10 or 11 against two, you know, one Miami and San Francisco, or Buffalo. How good are they? Because the numbers are the numbers at the end of the year. I mean, everybody kind of plays good and bad competition, and you feast on the bad competition. Yeah. But how good are they in your eyes?
You know, I think the numbers, they don't always tell the full story. And I think this is not one of the best 10 pass rushing teams in the league, I don't think, because they don't have anybody – against good quarterbacks, they don't have anybody who can just beat his guy and get a sack, so they have to do it with scheme and all that. I mean, they've done well. I think Pettine's you know, kind of started figuring things out with his personnel. And so, you know, they're considering their personnel, their pass rushing personnel, they're doing pretty well. But I don't know. I would guess they're, if you were like just going, asking a scout to rank all the pass rushing teams, units, I would guess they're middle of the pack at best, and maybe not even that.
Talking with Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. So last night we're doing the huddle, and we got into this discussion about Mike McCarthy and job, you know, security and longevity and such. And one of the beliefs is that Ted never got rid of Mike, even in some of those years in which you thought, could this be the end? Because maybe Ted deep down knew that he didn't have as much talent to work with. If you're Brian Gutekunst and you're looking at this going, I had to jettison a lot of the guys that Ted drafted, even if they were high draft picks, because they're just not that good. I'm trying to get out from a bad Nick Perry contract. I've got the end of a Clay Matthews contract coming up. I'm getting out from underneath Randall Cobb, who's not as productive and banged up this year. I'll have money to spend. Do you upset the apple cart at the end of this season if it doesn't turn out the way you think it should with Mike McCarthy and make the move now, maybe trying to, you know, garner those last 4 years or 5 years of Aaron Rodgers? Or do you keep him and say familiarity is what works best in the National Football League, and it's just a matter of giving him enough talent to work with? Where would you fall on that fence?
Yeah, that is that's the big question. And I still, you know, I want to see how the rest of the season plays out. I think there is something to the argument that coaches generally have a shelf life at a place, you know, 10, 12 years somewhere in there. So that's worth considering. It's not a hard and fast rule. Some have done well and won Super Bowls later, but you look at the history of the league, I think there's merit to that. If your gut's telling you that you might need to make a move, then you probably should just make the move. Stability is great. It just depends on what Gutekunst and Murphy think of them. You know, it's Murphy's call, although from what I've heard, you know, if Gutekunst has a strong feeling one way or the other, Murphy would probably, go with what he said. I can't give you a definitive answer, you know, and I think we do need to see how the season plays out, but, you know, the relationship with the coach and the quarterback, too, is so important. And if that's not going well, then, you know, something's got to change.
Do you think it's not going well? Do you think there's a lot simmering below the surface?
It sure doesn't look like it. I mean, the quarterback doesn't look like he's having any fun, does he?
No, he doesn't. But I don't know if that's just a product of losing, or if it's a product of frustration, or it's a product of he's not being given the opportunity to do his own thing under this head coach. I mean, I don't know.
You know, I think it seems to be all that. I mean, if you look at his comments after the Buffalo game, I think you can tell he's not crazy about the scheme. I think that's kind of obvious. That was kind of a veiled shot at the scheme. So it doesn't seem great, put it that way. You look at how, you know, Breeze and Peyton, you know, that looks like a pretty tight relationship. I think it permeates the whole organization. So, you know, and you're right. If they go on a winning binge here, maybe all's forgotten and forgiven, winning cures everything.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, going back to this game tonight, and I talked about it being a big game, I think you lose this one, then you've proven to yourself that you can't win against good teams on the road. Yes, I know historically everything's stacked against them, but, you know, you can come back and beat Minnesota, and you can, in essence, run the table, which is not the easiest thing to do. It could still happen. You're not mathematically dead, but at some point it begins to grind on you that you just can't get it done. I just think tonight's such an incredibly big game against a foe that you've traditionally had some problems with. So you get, I think a loss tonight validates what you may believe already. A win tonight, I think then it's exponentially huge in the sense that you've kind of gotten rid of a lot of demons. Would that be a fair way of putting it?
Yeah, and I totally get what you're saying, and, you know, There's a lot of truth to it. The only thing that keeps me hesitant is 2016, and they lost those two games at Washington and at Tennessee, and they looked terrible and looked like they were done and falling apart, and they're 4-6. And then they go on a run and end up playing in the NFC Championship. So this would be the 10-week point, too, and they'd be, what, 4-5-1? Basically the same situation, so... You know, I just wouldn't completely write it off just because with that quarterback, they can go on the run. The difference being maybe this year maybe the knee is just a little too much for the quarterback to get on that kind of a roll. I'm not sure.
How much stock you put in when Randall Cobb was asked about the RELAX and running the table and all that stuff, and he responded with, "I don't know, this season just feels different." I mean, we all wanted to read into this as some kind of negative aspect. I mean, did you read in the same?
Well, I don't read into it that he's given up or anything, but I read into it that he's maybe not feeling as good about their chances as he did back in 2016 when they were 4-6. That's how I looked at it.
Yeah, no, that which is basically the way I would. I don't think he'd ever say, "Hey, I just don't think it's going to happen." But I certainly think that there's this level of maybe skepticism in the back of the mind going, I don't know if we've got enough here to be able to make that kind of a run.
Yeah, frustration, maybe a little anger in that too.
Yeah, no doubt. Pete, always a pleasure, buddy. We'll look forward to talking to you real soon, okay?
Great. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Absolutely, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette. Read his stuff there. Always has something good. PackersNews.com as well. Again, Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. Joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.